Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 15. And in this chapter, we have 23 verses and translations and commentaries. And what's the title of this chapter?
Relief for Debtors.
This is Relief for Debtors. The Bible tells us, you know, if somebody owes us money, don't go to the court or get attorneys and fight them. Let them have it, because there isn't anything really that belongs to us. And naked, we came into the world, and we're going to go out of this world naked. Amen?
Amen?
And this chapter has to do with the jubilees of that everything reverts back to the person that owes you the money or that you bought it from. Because just the Lord wants everybody to know that God owns everything. Amen? Even the breath that's in our nose. Amen?
Amen.
Cease ye from man in whose nose is one breath. That's all we possess between here and eternity. For how little are we to be accounted. And so he wants us to not get hung up on the things that we own, because we don't own them. The Lord owns us. And he wants, here in the Old Testament, for us to give back everything in every 7 years to a person. Unless they still want you to have it. Or, you know, even themselves, if they're slaves. And in the Bible, slavery is permissible. But you have to let your slave go after they serve you for 7 years. But their wives and their children belong to you. Amen? I mean, if you're the slave master, any children that they have, they're just like if you had a cattle, any cattle that you have on your ranch. Your Rancho Grande, the big ranch, it belongs to you. Amen? That's why Sarah, her bondmaid had a child, they said, well, maybe we'll have a child through this bondwoman, Hagar. And so they said that Sarah shall have a child. That she'll actually bear one. So it's the child of promise, not the child of the bondwoman. Amen?
Amen?
Even though the child belonged to her, if she wanted to keep it, or otherwise she could send it away, because Hagar was jealous, and so is the child, Ishmael. But anyway, Father, we ask you to anoint this chapter, chapter 15 of Deuteronomy, and I pray, Lord, that you'll bring everything out of it from your word and all the things that you give me to expound upon, so that it'll cause people to be built up in you, that you'll grow in them more and more as they receive your word, which is spirit and life, which is your spirit and your life, more and more in them, so till they have such mature faith that whatever they ask, and they'll do what you say, so that whatever they ask, you'll give it to them. Lord, we ask that you give us that power one day at a time, in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's go.
Deuteronomy chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
Relief for debtors. King James Version, verse 1.
Relief for debtors. We have to relieve people in this world, not, you know, take him to court and all those sort of things. When the government took over hundreds and hundreds of different properties away from us, they didn't belong to me. The Lord gave them, and he took them away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we're not even supposed to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. When we see this country bombing all kinds of people all over the world and taking over their countries and putting Vaticanite leaders in there, that isn't our affair. You never saw Joseph or Mary fighting Caesar. God raised the Vatican up to punish heathen nations and to, when children of the Lord become so vile and are not serving the Lord, that they will put pressure unto the people of the Lord. Judgment begins first at the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of the world, and we're not supposed to stack up riches in this world, because we're supposed to be storing up riches for the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And so if something is taken away, it couldn't have happened unless the Lord allowed it. He's testing us to see if we're attached to this world. And that's what he made these rules up regarding giving everything back after 7 years and also after 50 years. He calls it Jubilee years, and the main Jubilee every 50 years. All the debts that people owe you, you're supposed to forgive them and give them relief. We're not here to put pressure on people at all, but to give them relief so that they know that this world is not ours, and we're not hung up in this world, and we're not hung up on riches. We are laying away by keeping the commandment. That these commandments of the Lord are very important. That doesn't mean give away everything that you have, but when you see people, as the Bible says, if they owe you something and they say, I can't pay, please forgive me, or something like that, well then fine. But we are to charge people. We have to make a living. And this is, we're primarily talking about the children of the Lord. If a child of the Lord. Now, if it's the heathen nations out there, we are to make finances off of them. We can take their money for services rendered. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of difference between the children of the Lord and the children of Satan. Okay, so go ahead and start reading.
At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release.
Okay.
Verse 2. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release.
Yeah, it's a commandment of the Lord to do it. That's just, and that's why you better do it. For your brothers and sisters in the Lord, your neighbors. Then what?
Verse 3, of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again.
See, as a foreigner, you can keep charging them, exacting it again. Okay, let's go and do the translation. To a person that's not really the member of the body of Israel. Go ahead.
Okay, translation verse 1 through 3, relief for debtors. At the end of every seventh year, you must cancel your debts. Verse 2, this is how it must be done. Creditors must cancel the loans they have made to their fellow Israelites. They must not demand payment from their neighbors or relatives, for the Lord's time of release has arrived. Verse 3. This release from debt, however, applies only to your fellow Israelites, not to the foreigners living among you.
Do you understand now? So, I know the Lord doesn't want to take any pressure off of people that are of the world. Okay? Now, a lot of Christians don't understand that, and so they just give away everything to the worldly people, and they give the business to the, and they rake their brothers and sisters over the coal. But you're supposed to be kind to your brothers and sisters, and you're supposed to demand, like if you have an apartment house, you have to demand your rent or get them out if they don't pay, okay? Right?
Right.
Yeah, because you're not to give any place to the devil, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 3. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release.
Okay, translation.
This release from debt, however, applies only to your fellow Israelites, not to the foreigners living among you.
Okay, so you can still charge them. You don't have to relieve them every 7 years or every 50 years. Okay? They can eat things strangled. Road kills they can eat. Things that die of themselves they can eat, but not us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 4. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
And the Lord doesn't want anybody to be poor that's a Christian. And you're not to help them get poor, you're to help them be, you know, in the black, not in the red. Right? Mm-hmm. All right, then what?
For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it.
Mm-hmm. Read the translation.
Verse 4. There should be no poor among you, For the Lord your God will greatly bless you in the land he is giving you as a special possession.
So if you support the people of the Lord, there's a great blessing for you. Amen?
Amen.
A great blessing. So if you want to be, if you're not being blessed by the Lord, and you're cheating a brother or a sister, or if you're not relieving them of something, some debt, then you're not going to be blessed, but you're going to be cursed. Okay, then keep going.
King James Version, verse 5. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day.
Now this may seem unimportant to people, this commandment here, but if you want to be blessed, it's very important. Amen? But if you don't care anything about blessings, well then just go ahead and do your own thing and be cursed. Okay, translation.
Verse 5. You will receive this blessing if you carefully obey.
Wait a minute. If I thought God just loved you unconditionally. He's saying if right now. There's a condition to his love and blessings. Amen?
Amen.
So don't let the people, the false prophets, these false preachers tell you that God just loves you unconditionally. Even before you're saved, there's a condition. You have to come to him for salvation. If you'll come to him, then he'll save you. So that's conditional too, right? And if you have a purpose in your heart to really serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then he'll save you. Then he'll save you. Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
You will receive this blessing if you carefully obey the commands.
If you not only keep it, but carefully keep it. Remember to keep it. Always keep it. Don't forget about it day after tomorrow because you start putting the screws to one of your brothers or sisters and then you're going to find out, what happened to the money? The money's not coming in anymore. How come I'm, getting sick? Or how come all this? And how come I'm not being healed? Amen?
Amen.
Something's wrong. Okay, what else?
You will receive the blessing if you carefully obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today.
If. And what?
King James Version, verse 6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee.
Yeah, so you don't have to go to the bank to borrow things when you're right. You're doing what the Lord says. You can pay all your properties off. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Okay, but yet even if you pay the properties off, they still don't belong to you because. You know, the minute all we own really, and it's only loaned to us, is one breath. Everything belongs to God. This is what the Lord is saying. The Lord says to do this because he wants us always to remember that everything that we have belongs to him. Amen?
Amen.
Everything I have is yours. People sing, but everything we have is God's. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way we have to think. Everything we have is God's. He's part of us. Amen?
Amen.
We're part members of his body. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that we possess, our destiny. Amen?
Amen.
He's not only going to give the world to us because the world is really his. Amen?
Amen?
But he's going to give the whole universe to us and the stars that shine. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that great? Hallelujah!
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. So everything we have is not ours, but it's his. But he lets us use it. He even lets us use one breath. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother.
Yeah, you despise him, saying, you poor slob, you're a ghetto person, you're a gutter snipe. No. Okay, keep going.
Verse 8, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him.
Wide, you know, don't just pinch penny or reach down with your bony fingers into your purse and pull out a penny or something, give it to him. Open the purse wide. Amen?
Amen.
give him liberally. Amen?
Amen.
He that giveth liberally shall reap liberally. Amen?
Amen.
Abundantly. Those that sow abundantly shall reap abundantly. You got a big field out there, you sow just a few seeds, and all that's going to come up is a few sprigs. But if you sow the whole field full of everything with seed, it's going to come up abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way it is. That's what God said. Then what else?
But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Verse 9. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee.
Yeah, because God's going to take it all away from you anyway. So you might as well give what you have so that the Lord can multiply what you have. Amen?
Amen.
You close up your fist. And there's a lot of people in the church. I mean, you don't give them everything you've got. You give them what they need, okay? Because some people say, oh, this gives me the right to you. The Bible clearly directs the people in the New Testament to give everything unto the pastors. And then the pastor will give distribution. Don't get it into your heart to do that any other way, too, because that's the directions of the Lord. They laid everything at the apostles' feet, and then the apostles doled it out. You, if you're a child and you've got some finances and everything, and you see some poor person, give it to the apostle and then tell the apostle of the poor person. And don't worry, if it's the real apostle of the Lord, they'll take care of him. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever seen me refuse anybody?
No.
Amen. Never? Okay, then what else?
Verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto.
Right. If you're grieved, then you're not a cheerful giver. So give it to the church, to the clergy, and the clergy, and then let the clergy know the different poor people and people that have need in the church. And any brothers or sisters, even if people are out in the world, we have to take care of the poor. Okay, so we send food out all the time to people and clothing and bedding and beds and furniture and things like that that are not really in our church at all. And we pay for transportation for them to go here and there where they have to go to a job or whatever. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land.
To our poor and our needy. But if it's a person that's out in the world, and they don't want to even come into the house of the Lord because they hate the Lord so much. They know that there's refuge here, but they don't want to come into the house of the Lord. All right, and so, translation now.
Verse 6 through 11. The Lord your God will bless you as he has promised. You will lend money to many nations, but will never need to borrow! You will rule many nations, but they will not rule over you! Verse 7. But if there are any poor people in your towns, when you arrive in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Verse 8. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Verse 9. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year of release is close at hand. If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin. Verse 10.
Yeah, a lot of people say, well, in 7 years, it's almost the seventh year or so, I don't want to loan to this person because they're never going to be able to pay me back. It's only 1 month until the seventh year, and they're going to give it to me. I have to just give it to them instead of getting it back. That's what that's saying. Amen?
Amen.
Or there's only 3 months left, and he says, don't stop from giving it to him, even though the end of the seventh-year period is at hand. If it's like 5 years, 7 years from now, Oh, yeah, I'll loan it to you, because I figure you'll pay back within 7 years, but if it's like two or three months, 1 month from the seventh year, let's wait until two or three months, okay? That's what he's talking about here. You're not supposed to do that, okay? In other words, you just figure, well, this is the same as just giving it to him. And the Lord says, do it, because don't you think that the Lord can increase you from some other avenue? You don't have to look for your welfare, your money from your whatever it is from the people. You look at for your stuff or your blessings from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So open up your hand. So you open your mouth, the Lord fills it. You open your hand and the Lord will fill it even further. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he says he'll do, and he cannot lie. Cannot die, and he can't fail. And what else?
Verse 10. Give freely without begrudging it. And the
Read
Lord...
that again so they know it's that statement, the one before where
okay.
It says that.
Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year of release is close at hand.
See, you understand that now?
Yes.
You didn't before, though, right? Okay, then what?
If you refuse to make the loan and the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be considered guilty of sin.
Because people are hungry, you know, a month before the year of release. I say, just wait another month, you know. Starve to death for a month, or two or 3 months, or a year. No. Okay, keep going.
Verse 10. Give freely without begrudging it, and the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Verse 11. There will always be some among you who are poor. That is why I am commanding you to share your resources freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. King James Version, verse 12. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee.
Okay.
Verse 13. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Verse 14, thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him.
Yeah, give him some money to, you know, get his feet on the ground. So he's out there and give him a little start. Amen?
Amen.
Don't turn him loose in the world without anything. Even when I put people out of the church, some of them, if they've got children, we give them $2,000 or $3,000. Some we've even given as high as $4,000 or $5,000. And people that are, you know, just single, give them a couple of $100s so they can get going. You know. And what else?
Verse 15, And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Verse 16, And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. Verse 17, Then thou shalt take an awl, and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Translation, verse 12 through 17. Release for Hebrew slaves.
And you know, it's a commandment that slaves, it's all right to have slaves. And but you got to treat them, you know, as you treat them right. You got to let them go every 7 years and give them plenty to go with, amen?
Amen.
And you got to take care of them while they're with you. A lot of people want to be a servant to certain people because they live better that way than they would out in the world. A lot of females would probably be prostitutes and be beaten up and everything else. And if they have a good master, then some, they just let them have a nice little house and food and clothing and buy them whatever they need and take care of their children and send them to school and everything like that. Understand? And then they say, the Lord says, but if every 7 years you got to let them go. But, you know, load up a wagon and give them plenty to get started out there in the world. But if they don't want to leave, they love you because you really take good care of them and they can't see their way out in the world because they just don't know how to get along, well, they might want to stay with you. And if so, well, then put an earring in their ear. that particular phone call that just came in was a person that was put out because he was just mocking and scoffing. But he has been here for quite a while. And he wanted to know. I'd given him some money already to leave, and I gave him a car, an automobile. And he wanted to know if he could have some more money so he could get on his feet. And I said, how much do you want? And he says, 500 or less. He says, as a loan. And I said, okay, I'll give you 500. And then I said, after he hung up, I says, he's asking for 500, but I'm going to really give him 1,000. The Lord says, open up your hand liberally. Amen?
Amen.
Got to let him know that this is really the house of the Lord. So that when he goes out there and runs into a brick wall, he's going to repent and ask to come back. Amen?
Amen.
And that he'll not mock and scoff, and that he won't try to hide from work and things like that. Okay? Because anybody that loosen up their purse strings, that's amazing that happened during this message, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that was really of the Lord, right?
Right.
So he wants only 500, but no. I gave him the automobile, I gave him some money, and then I'm going to double it. I'm going to give him, he doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to give him $1,000. Okay? So he can get on his feet. Okay, then what else?
Verse 12, if an Israelite man or woman voluntarily becomes your servant and serves you for 6 years, in the seventh year you must set that servant free. Verse 13, when you release a male servant, do not send him away empty-handed. Verse 14, give him a generous farewell gift from your flock, your threshing floor, and your wine press.
Well, I don't have a wine press or a flock or anything like that, but we do have some bucks, and I'm going to give him $1,000. He only wants five or less, he said. That's going to really make him know that we're of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then when we give it to him, we're going to quote this scripture that I'm doing what the Lord said to do and tell him he should thank and praise the Lord, because if the Lord never told me to do such things as this, yes, for sure I wouldn't. Amen? Because I'd be of the world, and the world won't give you the sweat off their brow. Amen?
Amen.
Or even the sweat off their nose. Okay? Then what else?
Share with him some of the donkeys with which the Lord your God has blessed you.
I don't have a single donkey, so I'll just give him an extra $500, okay? Then what?
Verse 15, remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt.
Yes, I was once lost in the world before, and a slave out there. I needed deliverance. I needed to be blessed, and I am now, and I just thank and praise the Lord for it. And I don't want to see... I know that nobody out in the world is going to help him this way. Nobody's going to give you money, especially if you've done something wrong to them. And this man has done something wrong to not only myself, but to the church and the Lord. And so I'm going to give him, as the Lord says. This is a perfect example. It's a living example. I'm glad that phone call came in during this message. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
And the Lord your God redeemed you! Exclamation mark. That is why I am giving you this command. Verse 16. But suppose your servant says, quote, I will not leave you, unquote, because he loves you and your family, and he is well off with you. Verse 17. In that case, take an awl and push it through his earlobe into the door. After that, he will be your servant for life. You must do the same for the female servants.
Now, you know, it's a real bad thing not to do everything that the Lord says, and I'll tell you why. When the Lord commanded Israel to not take any of the spoils of the town of any of the towns, he would say, when they went to Ai, he let them have the spoils. But when they were in Jericho, he said, don't take anything over there. And Achan did take them, and they called the city Achor, because Achor means trouble. He troubled Israel. And why did everybody in the Israel have to pay for Achan's sin? He took a real nice-looking Babylonian garment, and he took some silver, pieces of silver, and a wedge of gold. And then he hid the stuff. And the Lord told him not to take it. Well, it's the same thing with this. If I didn't give this man this money, then the whole corporate body of Christ would suffer. Because God always punishes the whole body of Christ corporately. So when there's somebody in the church that's doing something wrong, the whole church suffers. Now, there's many times, like for instance, when Israel was murmuring and complaining, the good have to suffer with the bad. Joshua and Caleb still had to stay out on the wilderness for 38 years with the rest of them, because the Lord punishes people as a body of people, a corporate body of people. And when Achan sinned, the entire corporate body of Israel had to suffer. He troubled Israel. Several people got killed in that battle, and the people of Ai chased them and became very confident that the people of Israel were not of the Lord, so they just figured they could whip them. Then the Lord showed Joshua who it was, what tribe it was. It was from the tribe of Judah. And then he singled it down to the families, and then the actual family, and all the people of that family had to die. Not only Achan, but his wife and his children and his tents and everything had to be buried. And then the king of Ai had to be hung by his neck. They just slaughtered everybody. There wasn't anybody alive after that battle. Because once they stoned Achan and his family to death, then God was with them in battle. They killed everybody in that battle, and there was two heaps of stones. One in the valley of Achor for Achan, and then there in Ai, they hung the king and also buried him there, and they said there's a great heap of stones. I was wondering what the stones were there. I wondered if that was for Achan and his family, or if it was for the king, because there's another heap of stones there too, a great heap. And that thing is at least, I would say it's at least two or three, maybe four city blocks long, and it's high. It goes up to about 15, 20 feet high, and then it decreases down at the end of it to where it's about 3 foot high. And they're big old white stones. And they look like they've been whitewashed or something like that. And then there's a plaque on it, a metal plaque at the end of it, down to a small part of that. And it says that pile of stones is there to this very day. And usually that means to the day that the book was written, the book of Joshua. But it's there now. Now, it's one of those, either the king of Ai or it's the family of Achan. Okay? But now, if I troubled this church by not giving this man, open my hand wide, everybody's going to suffer here. The Lord's not going to give us the finances that we need to pay our bills. We're going to have to go and borrow money. Now, there's a man that wants a truck here in the church, you know, because he runs loads and stuff like that for the church. And he hasn't been checking with me, and so I didn't want to give him the truck, but I have to give it to him. And I don't want to go to a bank. And so we do have the funds. The Lord has given us the funds that we don't have to borrow, that we can just write a check for that. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
To be able to do something like that. And the truck runs $30,000. Cash on the barrelhead. Amen? No bills, no interest rates. We paid cash for it. It's paid for. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that better? To do everything that the Lord says to do? I'm just pleased to do that. That's a little thing to do. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a little thing not to steal. I mean, why steal when the Lord gives you everything? Amen?
Amen.
Well, because of the fact that the people were obedient and they repented, the Lord let them have the things of Ai, because they put Achan to death and his family, and threw all his goods and everything, his tent and pots and pans and everything underneath that heap. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so sin has to go out of the camp, because God does punish people corporately. The whole body of Christ suffers if there's a sinner in the camp. Amen?
Amen.
So if I, you know, I as the pastor, I have to keep the commandments. And you as the laity, each one of you has to keep the commandments or you'll trouble the whole church. And we'll have to suffer, all of us. So keep the commandments of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then we'll lend to people and not have to borrow. Okay, keep going.
King James Version, verse 18. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee, in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest.
See, the Lord will bless you in everything that you do. That is a promise, and it works, I'm telling you. I can testify to that. Just do everything he says, and he'll bless you abundantly in every way, in everything that you do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'll tell you, keeping the commandments works. It does happen just the way the Lord says. Okay, translation.
Verse 18. Do not consider it a hardship when you release your servants. Remember that for 6 years they have given you the services worth double the wages of hired workers, and the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. King James Version, verse 19. All the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep.
It's good to pay attention to that commandment too. And then what else?
Verse 20, thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household.
Yeah, a lot of people today feel that, oh, well, we've got something that's worn out or it's bad or we don't want it anymore, we'll give it to the Lord. But the Lord wants you to give the best, the very first fruits, the very best you have to him if you want to live a long life and you want to be blessed in every way there is. I mean, I just really despise when people say, come on, you can come over and pick up our junk. God isn't going to bless those people for that. And then on top of that, they want a write-off from the federal government. So they, you know, and what it is, they want you to empty their garbage for them. They are not, and then they go and brag that they gave something to the house of God. They didn't give anything. The Lord wants the very best. The Lord says, would you give such a bunch of trash to the governor over here in Little Rock? Or in Sacramento? Over in Helena, Montana? You want to give the governor some garbage like this? Who do you think the Lord is that he wants your trash? You give the very best you got, the 10%. And if you're living in the house of the Lord, and the house of the Lord is supporting you and your children, you give them everything so that they can distribute to the poor, and because they're putting you up in high fashion. You don't have one lack in this church. There's nobody that does. If they do, I sure don't know about it. All right, then what else?
Verse 21. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord
no,
thy God.
Don't give some feeble, half-dead, or blind, or maimed animal unto the Lord. You're not going to give that to him. Give that to the governor. Give it to President Bush. See? See if he likes it. He probably, you know, really make sure that your taxes are doubled and tripled. Amen? I would if I was a governor, unsaved governor. I'd say, what are you giving me this garbage for? Don't bring it around here. Okay, you slob, you. What are you trying to do, insult me? Well, that's what you're doing to the Lord when you give him your garbage. You're supposed to give him the first fruits, the very best of everything you got. Otherwise, you're not going to get any blessing, and you're not to look to the federal government for a write-off if you want to be blessed by the Lord. All they'll do is give you dollar for dollar, but the Lord gives you 100 times more. And so that means that you don't trust him for the 100 times more if you're looking for a federal government write-off. Okay, then what?
Verse 22, thou shalt eat it within thy gates, The unclean and the clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and as the hart. Verse 23, only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof, thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water. Translation, verse 19.
Right, in respect to the life of the animal, you're eating its body. Now don't be drinking or eating the blood. Like there's some of these packing plants now that have tons of blood, and they don't know what to do with it, and they're trying to figure some way to make it into some kind of product to where they can make money on it, that they don't have to throw it away. They need to hear these scriptures so that they don't wind up in trouble. How many tons of blood do they say?
Seven.
That? Huh?
Seven.
7 tons of blood from just
per,
one?
Per packing plant.
Per packing plant.
Size.
Per month?
Per day.
Per day. 7 tons a day that they're having to throw away. And now they're trying to figure a way of how to make food out of it. Like maybe blood cheese or something. No, that's like dishonoring the life of those animals. And the Lord says, don't do that. Because he has respect even for the blood, the life of animals, because the life, God has given the life of everything, to even grass, to animals and birds, and to us. Everything that you see that's living comes, they have their life from the Lord. Even babies that are unborn, they've slaughtered 40 million of them in the United States already, that we know about. And that those statistics were like several years ago. Okay, then what?
Translation, verse 19 through 23. Sacrificing firstborn male animals. You must set aside for the Lord your God all the firstborn males from your flocks and herds.
See, the firstborn, not something that's crippled and maimed and old and feeble and dragging itself around on the ground. Something that's like full of life. You got to sacrifice that to the Lord. Always give your best to the church. Don't ever dare give anything that's inferior to the church. Otherwise, the Lord is going to curse you and not bless you. Okay, then what?
Do not use the firstborn of your herds to work your field, and do not shear the firstborn of your flocks. Verse 20. Instead, you and your family must eat these animals in the presence of the Lord your God, each year at the place he chooses. Verse 21. But if this firstborn animal has any defect, such as being lame or blind, or if anything else is wrong with it, you must not sacrifice it to the Lord your God.
No. Give it to, the Pope. Okay, then what else?
Verse 22. Instead, use it for food for your family at home. Anyone may eat it, whether ceremonially clean or unclean, just as anyone may eat a gazelle or deer. Verse 23. But do not eat the blood. You must pour it out on the ground like water.
All right, that was verse 23, the last verse of chapter 15 of Deuteronomy, and now we have some commentary. Go ahead.
15, verse 4, 5, and 11. Moses' statement when, quote, there may be no poor among you, unquote, verse 4, is conditional upon carefully obeying, verse 5. See also chapter 14, verse 29. Thus, perfect and consistent obedience to God's commandments will make possible a society in which all poverty is eliminated by God's blessing. Realizing that
now there's people in the world that's got $100 billion, $50 billion, $3 billion, and they're living in a community where they see there's poverty and people are starving to death and they don't have any food. They're going to be sorry when they stand before the judgment bar of God. God gave them those finances to see what they're going to do with it, and they see the poverty in the world. And they see Christian works that are doing great and mighty works like us, and they wouldn't give you a nickel, let alone, or they think they're doing a big thing if they give you $1,000 or something like that. And, of course, we don't ask them for anything. The Scriptures, God's Word, which is God, tells them to do it, and just so that we can take care of the poor, because they're not going to take the time to do it. We, the slaves of the Lord, will take care of the poor. If we had the finances, we'd take care of even more than we do now. And so we know where the suffering is. And you hear them say, we heard there's a depression. Of course, they don't know anything about it because they're living high, not on the hog, but high, just as high on everything there is. But they have to pay for it one of these days. The one that said that was President Kennedy. And he got his head shot off and stood before the judgment bar of God. So what do you think the Lord did with him? We don't know about any poverty. We're not concerned about the poor. When the Lord commands us to be concerned about the poor. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Realizing that Israel may not fulfill this requirement to its fullest, Moses goes on to say, realistically, the poor will never cease from among the land. Verse 11. This is why God said that we have to take care of the poor. If we take care of them, then they won't be starving to death.
Yeah, and if we take care of them, God will take care of us. Kennedy wouldn't have got his brains blown out. God would have made a move some way to keep him alive if he's doing the work of the Lord. And then you'll say, well, this person or that person was serving the Lord, and they got shot, and you don't know if that person was serving the Lord. 99 9/10% of the people that say they're serving the Lord and that they're Christians are not. Like Martin Luther King, I hear he was committing adultery and fornication all the time, and that he would stomp on the Bible and blaspheme and everything. But the black people say, well, he set us free. And so, well, that was good. He did some good things. But if he's breaking the commandments of the Lord, well, then he got his head shot up. Amen?
Amen.
Because God won't let that happen. Well, he let it happen to the disciples, and he let them die. Yes, as a testimony, and he sometimes does, and it gives glory to God that somebody has enough faith to say that, oh, good glory to God, I'm going to be in heaven in just a few seconds. Because the rain falls on the just and on the unjust, and so people do get cursed. Christians don't get cursed, but they get blessed, and they also run into problems. Okay, go ahead.
15, verse 16 through 18. At first glance, these verses seem to have little to do with us. But the servant who serves first out of necessity and then out of devotion is similar to us in the way we relate to God, our Master. As believers, we often obey simply because it is required. But as we mature in our walk with God, our obedience grows out of our love for Him.
Yes, and on top of that, we know that He's going to, when we love Him, that He loves us back. Amen?
Amen?
You can't outlove God, and you can't outgive Him. Okay? Some people think that just means money. No. Keeping His commandments is like doing what He says is what He blesses you for. Giving money, and if you break the commandments in giving money, that's not going to work. It has to be keeping the commandments, and then give your tithes too. And make sure that your tithes are the first fruit of everything. And that they're really wonderful, the best. Somebody gives furniture or something that to the church and it's all holes in it and everything like that. They know they don't want it because the dumps don't even take it anymore. They just want to give it to somebody that they just figure, they look down their nose at you like that. Like you're a nothing, and that God is nothing, and that they just want to get rid of their garbage. No, no, no. Okay, then what else?
To know Him is to love Him. We soon come to the realization that everything that God requires of us is for our own good. We need to be very willing to be people that are perpetual slaves to God in His program for our maturity, abandoning our old life of sin and self. Romans 6:15 through 23. Quote, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid.
See, we are not under the law because now we're clean from all of our sins. But if we start sinning again, then we're under the law again. because then we'll go under the law, the penalty of the law. Because all sinners, whether you think the Christians can get by with sin, you're crazy. Okay, then what?
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey?
Right, so if you start serving sin, you're the servant of Satan. And you think that God's going to bless you for that? You think that you're still going to be a servant of the Lord because of the false preachers, but you're the servant of Satan. That's just exactly what he's saying. Then what?
Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life.
You're made free from having to sin, is what that means. Before, when you were servants of Satan, you had to sin. You couldn't do anything else. You didn't even really know what sin was. But now you do. And so you're to yield your members unto righteousness. In other words, to keep the commandments what the Lord says to keep. And you have to stay away from sinning so that you don't fall back under the penalty of the law. Because the law is for the lawless. Now the righteous people, they're not under the law. I mean, there's no penalty of law to send their souls to hell. But the people of the Lord cannot go to hell because they are not breaking the commandments. But he said if we start serving, breaking God's commandments, then we're the servants of Satan, and the law will condemn you for that. So the Bible says that he that sinneth is of the devil. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And death, symbolically, Bible speaking, is an eternity in the lake of fire. Weeping, wailing, gnashing on the teeth, and gnawing your tongue. Then what?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
15, verse 19. The Israelites were to give to God the first of anything they received.
The first, the best. Okay, then what?
This is an important step for anyone seeking wholeness and to be blessed by the Lord. It demands that we put God first in the area of our resources, which includes both time and money. This shows that we are aware that God is the source of everything that we have and our future provision, and that we are willing to trust Him with all of it. It is healthy to give up some of our wealth and any security it promises. Only when we trust God with our life can we begin to conquer the problems that are too big for us to face alone. This is where we begin seeing the many blessings of God. The more we mature, the more we see them.
Okay, now let's read some of these scriptures that I outlined for you before we started the tape.
Okay. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
So that goes right along with don't go after a person that owes you money, that is a brother or a sister in the Lord, because we have to be generous. If they're too poor to pay you, then just tell them, you know, well, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, you won't be. Then what else?
Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves...
Yeah, because God owns everything anyway. No matter what you have, you're not going to take it with you when you die. You're not going to take one red cent out of this world with you. if you've earned billions and billions of dollars and you have the whole world, what is it going to profit you in eternity? Not a bit. You see all these wealthy men dying, and they leave their fortunes to some antichrist organization like the Ford Foundation many of the other organizations that are against God, against Christ, and against God's chosen people. Henry Ford was anti-Semitic, anti-God, anti-Christ. Then what else?
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
These are the words of Jesus to his God. Then what?
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Yeah, if your heart is on your treasures here on earth, then you're not going to give to the poor. And you might die tonight, tomorrow, and you're not going to have anything to take with you. Somebody's going to dole it out to a bunch of unworthy people after you die. It's better to use it for good, the things that the Lord says for you to use it for. Then what else?
Mark 8:34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Yeah, deny yourself the glory of having all these riches and stuff and not letting it go. Some of it go, at least 10% of it. Because if you do that and you keep the Lord's command, the rest of the Lord's command, if you give 10% of what you have and yet don't keep the rest of God's commandments, you're not going to get into heaven anyway. But this is talking about just one of the commandments of the Lord. All right, then what else?
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
Okay, then go to the next one.
Psalm 62:10. Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them.
Right, because everything you own doesn't belong to you. God's just given it to you to see what you're going to do with it. If you're going to keep his commandments with it. We don't own anything. Not even the breath that's in your nose. It's loaned. It's on loaner to you. Isn't it?
Okay, then Job 1:21.
Okay.
Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 15 of Deuteronomy that we've read earlier. These are other scriptures, of course. There was 23 verses in Deuteronomy chapter 15, teaching us that we are to be liberal. Well, we are to do the things liberal with our finances towards the poor, the needy, and to give to the Lord the first, the best of everything that you have, and make sure that you give 10% of everything that the Lord has. That's all throughout the Bible. And if you're living and being in the house of God, I mean, they're providing a house and utilities and cars and hospitalization, your eyes, your glasses, and everything. In the training of your children in school, just give everything you got, because 90% of the people, I think 100% of the people that live in the church don't really have any money anyway. They just do work around the church. But if you people that are listening and learning and gaining are being fed by these tapes, then, you know, make sure for your own good to tie it to this work, because the Lord will bless you for it, just as it has been said and all throughout the Bible. And then think about all these things, the rest of you people that are in the church, and those of you that are just on the mail list that are receiving these tapes free of charge. Think about doing what the Lord says. Don't ever give me your worst or the mediocre stuff. Give him the best that you got. And the Lord will start, you'll start reaping the benefits from the Lord so much that you can't even imagine where it all came from, unless you knew the Word of God. But you do know the Word of God now, and you'll know where it's coming from. The Lord has given it to you because you're doing what he says. All right, chapter 15, Deuteronomy, until chapter 16, praise the Lord. And I know God is blessing you if you'll do everything he says. Praise God. Amen.